We are back, baby. It's spring break is over. The break from the Beaver Dam is finally over. Our faithful listeners get to hear us, hear the sweet voices, or I should say my sweet voice, as I get to do this solo dolo this week, and it couldn't be a more perfect time to do a solo Beaver Dam because it is the best time of the year. Spring is right around the corner, and that means spring sports, more importantly, softball and baseball, and I am unapologetically biased towards baseball. It's just the absolute best. I mean, not all sports are created equal, and baseball is just made by the gods, and it's just, oh man, it just holds a place so dear in my heart, and in America's heart. I mean, it's America's pastime, although it's not as popular as it used to be. But softball is also here, and I mean, softball, it's fantastic just as well. It's the exact same game, just played on a smaller field with a different size ball. It's actually not the exact same game. It's got a bunch of different been how it's played, but the premise is the exact same. And both the baseball team and the softball team got to travel to Florida this week. Oh, beautiful Florida. It was just so beautiful. I went there for a week. It was 70 degrees, 75 degrees every day. The breeze was just blowing in your face. It was just so nice. The sun was warm. And we get back here, we go outside for our first practice yesterday, and it is 35 degrees and snow. We were hitting BP in the snow. I was out in left field. I couldn't even see the ball coming my way. It was interesting, to say the least, but hey, the things you do for the things you love. Oh, man. Like I said, just unapologetically biased towards spring sports. Baseball and softball, they're just the absolute best, and they're the things I know the most about. I mean, I love football, love basketball. I mean, track and field is absolutely incredible. Soccer is such a good, such an underrated spectator sport. But man, baseball is just the tops. It's just the bee's knees. All right, now that my love affair is over, let's dive into what the Beavers did this past week down in Florida. Had a bit of polarizing starts to the season between softball and baseball. So let's start it off with softball. They went 2-8. Down in Kissimmee, Florida, not exactly the start they wanted to have, but hey, I mean, they're coming. They've been through so much recently. They've got a new coach, just a lot of transitions going out. I mean, this team has been through so much. I remember this team's freshman year, the seniors' freshman year. They were in the conference tournament playing so well. Their coach thrown out of the game and then got them disqualified for cheating, I believe, was actually how it was. She got thrown out of the game and then was texting the assistant coach moves to make, which is a big no-no. Got disqualified and really, really gypped them out of something really great. And since then, I mean, they've just been through so much. I mean, I don't know. I haven't personally been on the softball team, but just looking on the outside, looking into it, it's just been absolutely heartbreaking. These women have gone through. So they started out 2-8. They started off playing some really good teams. Baldwin Wallace, good team year in and year out. Lost that game 6-2. Then they played Penn State Berks, lost 3-1. Then they played Bridgewater, lost 9-8. And they got their first win of the year facing off against Lebanon Valley. They beat them 5-3. Then they lost their first game to Teal. And let me tell you, this game was an absolute roller coaster. I mean, they played 8 innings. The final score was 18-11. They ended up losing the game. But listen to how this game shook out. It was 11-4 going into the bottom of the 7th inning. Bluffton puts up 7 runs to tie the game up at 11. Could not get that last run across and give them the walk-off victory. So they go into extra innings. And what happens on the top of the 8th? They give up 7 runs themselves and end up losing 18-11. It had to have been an absolute roller coaster. They played Widener, won that 4-1. So they're 2-4 midway through the trip. Then they lost their last 4 games. They lost a very close game against WPI, 13-12. Lost another close game to St. Joseph's from Maine, lost 3-2. They lost to Westminster, 9-5, and Webster, 15-3, in 5 innings, a run rule. But man, just looking at these games, this could have been shook out completely different. So let's just take, I mean, a 2-8 is not a start you want at all. But let's just look at these games and how much it could have turned around. A 3-1 ball game, pitcher's duel, who knows how they can go. Then they lost to Bridgewater 9-8. I mean, that's a one-run game. They lost 1, to three games by one run, and then they had Teal go into extra innings. So that's four games. Let's say that something goes right in all four of their games. All of a sudden, this team's 6-4 instead of 2-8. It's just crazy how little things can completely just switch around a start to the season. And now they're back in Ohio. I mean, this team typically plays better in Ohio. I mean, they played some tough competition down there. And let's just look at who's playing really well for this Bluffton team. You got Brittany Huff, who's a senior starter. She's been the centerpiece of one of the centerpieces of this team year in and year out. She's batting .420. She started in 9 games. She has a home run. She has 14 hits, scored 11 times. Then you got Mackenzie Schmidt and Courtney Jasinski. They both are batting north of .370. Mack is hitting .371. Courtney's batting .387. They've done very well. And then Josie McElroy, she's not had the hottest start to the season. She's famously played so well here in her career here. I think she actually tied the home run record. She had one home run down there, which gave her the lead for the home run record. She's batting a modest .273. She's got 9 hits, a home run, 3 doubles. She got a couple RBIs, 7, I believe. I think she's actually might be close to leading the lead. Actually, Courtney has 8. So this team's hitting the ball all right. And then it's the pitching that, I mean, Nicole Thomas, 1-3 with a 4.96 ERA. Their other starter, Jessica Madzia, she's 1-3 with a 5.25 ERA. And then the other two people with starts, Alexis Montemoreno, she has a 15 ERA. She's 0-1 in her 2 starts. She's only pitched 4 innings and given up 10 runs. And then Katie McCord, who is actually has a 12 ERA, 0-1 record, and 7 innings and given up 12 earned runs. Nicole Thomas threw 29 innings and gave up 21 runs. And I think she was the pitcher that came in the top of that game that went into extra innings. And I think she gave up 7 runs there at the top. I think she was. She got the loss. She came in to relief late in that game and gave up a lot of earned runs there. She gave up 11 earned runs over 4 innings. So it's just a tough start, but she's still leading the team on RA. Other than that, she's been throwing very well for this team. So, I mean, it's just so many games in such a short period of time. After this game lengthens out, they get more rest. Who knows what happens when they come back? So their first game back here in Ohio is against Otterbein, which is actually going to get postponed. So actually the first game will be against Heidelberg, which comes out tomorrow, March 15th. And they got a doubleheader this Saturday at Albion. And then it's just so much better once you get back here to Ohio and the games get spaced out. You get to save some pitching and really get after it. And it kind of can't get in your head. The thing about baseball and softball is there's always tomorrow. But once you have these breaks, it can kind of get in your head as a player. But I think overall, the more breaks will help this team compete. I mean, 2-8 is not the start that they wanted to have the season. But the beauty of it is they have plenty of season left to go. So before we switch on over to baseball, we're actually going to play a little music. And the beauty about me doing a little solo dolo Beaver Dam this week is you get to listen to the greatest band of all time, Pearl Jam. So before we switch on over, you're going to listen to Corduroy by Pearl Jam.
I can't wait.
Don't go anywhere, because the Beaver Dam will be right back after Elderly Woman Behind the Counter in a Small Town by Pearl Jam.
I seem to recognize your face. Haunting, familiar, yeah. I can't seem to place it. Cannot find the candle of thought to light your name. Lifetimes are catching up with me. All these changes take place. I wish I'd seen the place, but no one's ever taken me. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. I swear I recognize your breath. Memories like fingerprints are slowly raising. Me, you wouldn't recall, or I'm not. Stuck upon the shelf, I changed by not changing at all. Small town predicts my fate. Perhaps that's what no one wants to see. I just wanna scream hello. And thoughts, they fade, fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade, fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade, fade. And thoughts they fade, fade away.
So switching over to baseball. Baseball had a completely different start. I was actually there for the whole thing. Of course, I play baseball. It had the best start in school history. First off, they tie a start 4-0 to start the season. They're 4-0 to start the season, which has only been done two other times in school history, 1973, and then last season they also started 4-0. So they started off 4-0, and they lost – why am I saying they? We lost to Baldwin Wallace in a nail-biter of a game. They took a big lead early on, and then we just kept chipping away, got our Tom Watson wedges out, and just kept chipping away at the lead, bringing it back. Then we tied it up, I believe, at 16-16 in the eighth inning. And then they just, Baldwin Wallace was able to put the nail in the coffin in the bottom of the ninth. They have a walk-off victory against Dante DeAndrea, who's been throwing very, very well for Bluffton. And then in a 10-game start, Bluffton, we're actually starting off at 8-2. So let me give you a rundown of just the scores and let you know how the season has started off. So the first game actually happened up here in Ohio and Delaware. We played OWU, beat them 11-9 in a very close game. It was a back and forth game that, once again, we just kept fighting back and forth, and then eventually we took the lead and didn't look back and won 11-9. Brantley Canute came in and shut the door down, got the win. Then we went down to Fort Myers, Florida, which is where we traveled. We had to play 9 games in a very short amount of time. We actually played 8 games in 5 days, and with a team that looked like we would have some a short pitching staff. That seemed like a tall order, which it was, and I'll explain that later. So we played a doubleheader on the Sunday that we got there against Thiel, beat them 9-1. Brantley Knute pitched a perfect game, not a perfect game, but a fantastic game there. And then the second game was a little more tightly contested. It was 6-4 was the final score. We had a 4-2 lead going into the eighth. We put in Dante. Dante gave up two runs, and it came up 4-4. Then all of a sudden, we took the lead in the top of the seventh. We only played a seven-inning game this day. Took the lead 6-4 and put the hammer down. So this just shows you off. In the first three games, two of them have been tightly contested going into the last few innings. And then we played Moravian. So Moravian was a very good team, probably the first really good team that we played. Ohio Wesleyan and Thiel were both very good. But this was the first real test. We didn't have Brantley. We didn't have Colby Clifton, who's pitched very well on the mound. We started off a freshman, Garrett O'Reilly, who was thrown incredibly well. It was 1-0. We had a 1-0 lead going into the fourth inning. Moravian had an absolute stud on the hill. I mean, just shoving in. I mean, striking us out left and right. He made me look absolutely silly on two curveballs and then struck me out on a changeup in the dirt. So we had like four or five errors in the fifth inning to give them a 6-1 lead. And if this was the team's last year, I mean, a dude's thrown it on the mound. We'd just go right on up there and we'd quit. But no, we fought back. I think we brought it up to, I'm going to get the box score up here in a second. So yeah, so the score was 6-1 going into the bottom of the fifth inning. We were able to tack on two runs, making it 6-3. Then we gave up a run in the top of the sixth, making it 7-3. And what happens? The next two innings, we score seven straight runs to give us a nice little 10-7 lead. Top of the eighth comes up, give up two more runs. So it's 10-9 all of a sudden. And what do? We give our team just a little more breathing room and give us 11-9 lead going into the ninth. And then Jack Bonney comes down, closes down the door, throws an inning and a third, strikes out two. Fantastic job by Bluffton. It was such a long game, 11-9. I think it was like a four-hour game. So long. And what do we have to do? We have to turn around and play the best team we play all week, Baldwin Wallace. I already gave a little brief synopsis of what happened here. So Baldwin Wallace, this is the line score. Baldwin Wallace went up 8-0 in the first two innings. I think they had three home runs in the first two innings alone. Three bombs on a big field down there in Florida. We came back, scored two runs, making it 8-2. And what do? They score right back. And this was really the tale of the whole game. There's only one inning where we put up a zero against Baldwin Wallace. So it's 8-2. They score another run, then another one the next inning. All of a sudden, it's 10-2. And then we put up a four spot on them on the top of the fifth inning. So it's 10-6 going into the bottom of the inning. What do? They score two more runs, making it 12-6. Then we battle right back and put up a four spot, making it 12-10. We're down two runs going into the bottom of the sixth inning. And of course, we give up a three-run go. So it's 15-10 now. We get a zero. They get a zero in the top of the seventh, then we give up a run, 16-0. Then in the top of the eighth, something crazy happens. We score six runs in the top of the eighth to make this game 16-16. We put in Dante DeAndrea, who absolutely comes in and shuts the door in the first inning, the entire game where we could stop them. We do just that, making it 16-16. We get a zero going into the top of the ninth inning. Then we get bases loaded, one out, could not get a run across. They turn a double. Actually, they just made a play right at the end of the inning, a fantastic play by their third baseman. And it's 16-16 going into the bottom. They get a run across, 17-16. So our 4-0 record, it's halted right there. Then we go and play tomorrow against Pitt Bradford. Incredibly short on pitching. We put up a freshman who just didn't have his stuff that day. He gives up seven runs in the first inning. So it's seven. We score three runs, three unanswered runs, making it 7-3 in the top of the third. And they put up seven more runs. So we're down 14-0. And they put up three more runs. And at this point, we're just completely shy on pitching. Hunter Mills didn't get an out, gave up seven runs. Paul Fry then went 2 1/3, giving up six runs. Sam Krizek giving up one and two thirds, giving up four runs. So it's 17-3, and we're really just completely shot on pitching. So we just start throwing some outfielders out there. Jeff Arnett threw three innings, giving up two runs. another left fielder. Adam Duncan threw an inning, gave up a run. And then Bryce Fink came in the last inning, gave up a run. And we were able to keep clawing away, but they just scored too much, and they scored four runs in the top of the eighth inning to put it away. And the final score of that one was 21-14. And then we never really looked back after that. We played Riviere the next day in a doubleheader. Jack Bondy, who's player of the week, had a shutout, 6-0. Next game, we went down early on in the game, but ended up winning 15-9 against Riviere. Then we played Hiram, beat them 9-5, took a day off, came back and played Edgewood, beat them 11-6. So we're up 8-2 to start the season, and it's really behind a plethora of people. I mean, the scoring was just there all week, and that can really be attributed to two people above the rest, although everyone hit. We had five people bat over 400 who started at least six games. Ryan Golden, hitter of the week, batted 540 this week. He had 19 hits, 5 doubles, 1 triple, 2 home runs, and 20 RBIs in 1 week of baseball. Colin Gregory batted exactly 500. He had 21 hits, 3 doubles, 2 triples, 8 RBIs. And then two guys who really filled in roles at the beginning of the week. They didn't start the first few games, Alex Imansky and Jackson Rogan. They really filled in some spots after the starting shortstop, Chase Lonezak, went down with an arm injury. They really started filling in the middle of the infield, and they took over Bryce Fink's role. And in the six games that they started, they both batted at least 420. Jackson Rogan, 421. Alex Imansky, 429. They have a combined 14 hits and 4 extra base hits. And a combined 10 RBIs there at the bottom of the order. And then another freshman doing a fantastic job, Jacob Latkowski, playing third base, has started every game. He filled in at that four-hole position. He's batting 417, 15 hits, 10 RBIs. Another freshman, Reed Rule, who filled in at the end of the week at the leadoff position, batting almost 350. We had catchers like Parker Reynolds and myself. We're batting over the 300s. We've just been hitting very well. And then at the top of our rotation is doing fantastic as well. Jack Bondy threw 9 innings, didn't give up a single run, struck out 5. Colby Clifton threw 10 innings, only gave up 1 earned run. Brantley Knute, starting off the season 2-0, has a 2-1 ERA and 12 2/3. Dante DeAndrea has a sub-3 ERA, and the freshman Garrett O'Reilly has a 3-3 ERA to start the season. It's just from then on out is where the ERA really drips, and that's going to be the case for this entire season, is how long can we get this pitcher? The pitching staff is thin, but where it's at, it's very strong. It's so strong at this pitching staff, and this team is playing with itself. And the problem is last season we had to saw the same thing. A start to the season started off really hot. The team started off 9-4 and ended off the season 15-20. They lost 10 straight games. Five of those games were by one run, and we just don't want to see the same team. And this team's fighting. This team has a lot of fight in it right now, and I just hope to see it continue because we didn't – truth be told, I didn't think the competition was the best that we've played down there in Florida. We've played really good teams like Baldwin Wallace, Moravia, and I thought Thiel was a good team. And then we played Ohio Wesleyan before we left, who's historically a pretty good team. But where this team can go forward is it can't get cocky. You can't think that it's made it just because we had one good week of baseball. Now we start playing the big dogs. We're going to start playing conference here in 2 weeks. And we've really got to be on top of the game. We play some tough teams coming up. Ohio Northern from Ada, just down the road. It's a very tough team. The game was supposed to be happening this past Tuesday, but it's going to get moved to tomorrow, the 15th, if weather permitting. And then we got a game against Midnight. So we just got a long schedule ahead of us. And with the new schedule in the HCAC, the HCAC schedule used to be three game series. Now it's switching to just double headers, and instead of four teams making the conference tournament, five teams now make it. So instead of playing 27 league games, you play 18. So it opens up a lot of schedule. You get to see a lot more teams this season, like Wittenberg and other teams from Ohio. So it's a really exciting season, and this team has some really exciting aspects, and I hope that this team continues to go and play well. Man, I just rambled on a lot. Sorry. Got to take a big old deep breath after that one. I mean, when I get talking about baseball, it just goes on and on and on. Just love it. Like I said, unapologetically biased towards just this game with a round bat and a round ball trying to hit it square. We're going to take a short break and we're going to listen to Say Hello to Heaven by Temple of the Dog. And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next week. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWIT.com, and subscribe. This has been Reed Mouse, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The WIT. Roll Beave.